You're listening to Amud Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Masecha Shabbos, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We're going to start from the bottom of Mem Hey Amud Beis. Not sure exactly where the Rav left off, but there was a discussion about a case where a menorah fell on Rav Asi's garment, his cloak, and he didn't move it, at least not directly, below Tiltala, and that's surprising because he's a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. We would assume that he would be a reflection of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, and therefore that would imply that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon, as we originally assumed. So how could that be? And the Abaye tells us that you can't learn anything from a menorah. A menorah is a completely different situation, right? And he quotes this teaching of Rav Acha bar Rechnina, Amar Rav Asi, in the name of Rav Asi himself, quoting Rish Lakish, who says that if you have a menorah that's in Itelis B'yodo Achas B'mutra L'tatla, that if you have a small light menorah that you're able to move physically, meaning like you're hit with one hand, then it's mutter to move that, and if it's a very heavy one, you cannot. And Rabbi Yochanan argues that one can only move a nair, like a smaller lamp like Rav Shimon, but when we're talking about a menorah, a larger candelabra, that would, whether it's big or small, you're not allowed to handle it, no matter if you can carry it with one hand, two hands, it doesn't make a difference. So now let's begin from three lines from the bottom. The time of Mai, and what's the reason for that? Why is there a unique situation regarding the menorahs? Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayhu, Hova Adam Kovei Alamakom. The reason that a menorah, a candelabra, is specifically considered muktzah is because it has a specific place that it's supposed to be. And since it has a designated place, then it shouldn't be handled and moved from there. Amar Aleya by Rav Yosef, Ahari Kilas Chassanim, Adam Kovei Lamakom. But what about a Kilas Chassanim, which is the canopy of a bridal bed? So a person has a specific place for that. V'amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya Kilas Chassanim Mutar Lintosa U Mutar Lifarka B'Shabbos. That a Kilas Chassanim, this bridal canopy, you're allowed to spread it out on Shabbos, and you're allowed to take it down. And Rashi goes into some of the details here that doesn't have the requisite size and shape in order to make it a problem of you know, ohel considerations, making an ohel on Shabbos. But also what we get from this is that it's not muktzah, even though there is a specific makom for it. So the Gemara, or really Abaye, rejects Rav Yosef's understanding, and Ella Amar Abaye says instead b'shel chulios. We're talking about a menorah that is of chulios, meaning Rashi says shel prakim, that has pieces. It's a few pieces together that makes the menorah. And shema tipol v'tisparik v'yachazirena v'nimsa osekli. We're concerned that maybe this is just by Rashi. Maybe there are that you know, if you handle one of these menorahs, some of the pieces will fall out. Some of the, you know, the candles, the sticks, whatever it might be, will fall out of it. By candles, I meant like the candle holders, like the appendages of the menorah. And what's going to happen? Then someone's going to put them back. And if you put them back, then you actually you built a kli on Shabbos. And that will be a problem. So there's a gzera based on these menorahs, shel chulios, that you're not allowed to move them on Shabbos. So, ihafi my time with Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Deshari. So why is there a machlokis? Rish Lakish permits moving it if it has, if you can move it with one hand, meaning it's like a smaller menorah, and Rabbi Yochanan answers that. So why? So my chulios. So we have to try to understand what does it mean chulios, right? Meaning Abai is gonna just fine tune his pshat, revise it slightly. So my chulios would be by chulios ke'en chulios. That means it's like chulios. Dis bachidke, that it has, Rashi says, chisuchin savivla, like cuts in it. It has like grooves. Rashi explains further that it appears to be like it has its different sections. Okay, so what? So the concern here is that if that if something has grooves, it might look like it's a section, like one of these menorah shachulios. And there's a gzeira on some menoros that even if they have grooves, a gzeira, because of the that people might think it's chulios. So let's see how this explains the machlokas. Therefore, if it's made of chulios, if it's different sections, then whether it's big or small, that's going to be usher to handle on Shabbos because we are concerned that a piece will fall out and you'll return it. And an extension of this also would apply to a menorah with grooves, a large menorah with grooves. And therefore, you can't move that either because people might think it's oh, it has chulios, and people are vi and then you're violating the iser of moving a menorah with chulios. Keep ligi. So once the machlokas come in, b'ktana de'isba chidke. We're talking about a small menorah with grooves. Marsavar gazrinan, marsavar lo gazrinan. Reish Lakish holds that, or Rabbi Yochanan holds that we are gozer even on a small one, and Reish Lakish holds that we are not gozer on a small menorah. Rashi explains, Kipligi, he says, because everyone knows if you have a small menorah with grooves, everyone knows it's not a it's you know I guess the small menorahs are not the ones that usually come in pieces. It's just one piece. That's usually a large menorah thing. So if you have a small menorah with grooves, is everyone knows that no one's going to mistake that for oh look, he's moving a small menorah of chulios, because really people typically don't have a small menorah of chulios. However, is that just included in the blanket iser? So Rabbi Yochanan says yes, it is. I don't care if it's don't be machalik between big and small with grooves. Just, if it has grooves, that's the extension of the iser of chulios as well. So it's a problem. Lo plug, and Reish Lakish says no, only if there is a real concern that the grooves will be mistaken for chulios. But now taking a step back, so what we had said in the previous amud that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gemara says, "Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan helping." Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? V'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan tells us in general we have a rule that the halacha is in accordance with a stam mishnah. Utnan, we learned in the mishnah. Muchni shalav bezman shehi mishnah nishmetes. Right, we learned on Mendal and Beis the case of the muchni of this the wheel of the coach. When it's removable, ain chibur lav, ain nimdadasima, so they're not considered halachically attached, and they're not measured together, ve'ain matzel sima ba'ol ames, and it doesn't join in to create a hatzalah, this protection from the tumah of through all the mace. Then going also b'shabbes mizvan sheish olah ma'os, right? And so all the hope. We discussed on Mem Daled Amud Beis and Rashi's there what all these things mean, but this last one is the most important. We said that also this Mishnah says that you're not allowed to drag the wheel on Shabbos when there is money on it or even the coach, right? Because since the wheel is not considered part of the coach, even if it's on it. But if it's nishmetes, it's not considered part of it. Therefore, the wheel becomes a basis for the money, and the coach is also going to be that for the wheel. So in this case, so we said ha ein aleha maos sharia. So we learned from this that if the money was not on it, then it would be permitted. Va'afal gav dahavu aleha bein hashmashos. Even though it was the money, right? So we're saying it matters whether the money is on the wheel right now or not. Meaning, it doesn't matter, the Mishnah is implying, it doesn't matter if it was on it during Beit HaShemashos. Meaning, it's a rejection of the principle of Migud Das Katsai, where it was right on during Beit HaShemashos, and then it's us, or even if it's removed at some point later on. So this is in accordance with Reb Shimon. That's what we concluded. This Mishnah seems to be Reb Shimon, and therefore, if this is a Stam Mishnah that we say is Reb Shimon, so Rabbi Yochanan should hold like Reb Shimon because he holds in general Stam Mishnah is in that the halacha is in accordance with the Stam Mishnah. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say otherwise over here? And Rabbi Zeira is going to give an interesting answer. He says, Amar Zeira tehei mishna seinu shlo hayu alehem mos kol bein hashmashos. So rather, we should let's establish our mission over here as talking about a case where it wasn't put on bein hashmashos. Meaning, let's say it came on afterwards. Why shlo lishpor devar shel Rabbi Yochanan? So that we don't break the words of Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning, that's an inference. It doesn't say it explicitly that that was the case in this Mishnah, that it was specifically not on during Bein HaShemashos. Just we assumed, right? We inferred from the statement that if money is on it, it's a problem. So we assumed, oh, so that means even if the money is not on it now, sorry, that if money was not on it now, but even if it was during Bein HaShemashos, that would be a problem. Right, that wouldn't be a problem. Let me say that again. The Mishnah merely says, "Bisman sheyesh lehamos," when money is on the wheel, you're not allowed to drag it. The implication of which is, "Ha'ena lehamos sharia." If there's no money on it, it is not permitted. That it's very simple. If it's the money is on it, you can't, and if the money is not on it, you can. Which seems to exclude the case of Migu Das Katsai being a problem, that, right, because if it was on during Bein HaShemashos, even if the money is not currently on, you would not be allowed to move it. See, it looks like this is rejecting that possibility, and therefore it's in accordance with Reb Shimon. So we're saying, listen, if it's going to create this problematic statement of Reb Yochanan, because Reb Yochanan holds like Reb Yehuda, but he also holds that Stam Mishnah, the halacha is in accordance with the Stam Mishnah, and this Stam Mishnah is Reb Shimon. So he says, then don't make that inference, right? We don't have to read this Mishnah this way. There's another way to read the Mishnah. You could just say that the Mishnah is talking. It was talking about a case where it wasn't on during Bein HaShemashos. So if the money was not on during Bein HaShemashos, now we look at it how it is right now. Is the money on it? Okay, yes, then you can't move it. If it's not on it, then you can move it. But of course, this Mishnah is really Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, if it really was on during Bein HaShemashos, we would apply the principle of Migu Das Katsai, and therefore we're not forced to say to make this inference. We're not forced to say this Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. Maybe you could say this Mishnah is talking about a case where it was not on during Bein HaShemashos, and therefore this Mishnah is really a reflection of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore since we can't say that this Mishnah is conclusively Rabbi Shimon, then perhaps it's Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan can paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, even though the halacha is in accordance with the Stam Mishnah, because this Mishnah couldn't indeed be Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Pama Chas Halach LeRabbi LeDiaspora. So Rabbi once went to some place called Diaspora, the whole Rabbi Menorah Rabbi Shimon ben Ner, and he and over there he paskined with regarding a menorah like Rabbi Shimon with the Ner. Which it's unclear what this means. So Abayalahu, they asked regarding this. Ho Rabbi Menorah k'Rabbi Shimon ben Ner l'hetera? He paskin with them like in the case of a menorah like Rabbi Shimon ben Ner with a ner as a heter, meaning that just as Rabbi Shimon is makel regarding moving a candle, he was makel regarding moving a menorah. Odilma ho Rabbi Menorah l'isura. Or maybe he paskined like a menorah. What does it mean? He paskined regarding the case of menorah that it's usher to move it. Ukrabi Shimon ben Ner lehetera, and he held like Rabbi Shimon with a ner as a heter, meaning only when it comes to a ner. Meaning this statement is saying that Rabbi paskined it's usher to move a menorah, and it's only mutter, the only lighting implement that you're allowed to move is a ner in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, but not a menorah. So, which one is it? Teiku, unanswered. Rav Malkia ikla lebei Rabbi Simlai v'tiel tal shraga. Rav Malkia visited the house of Rabbi Simlai, and he moved a candle. Rav ikla Rabbi Simlai. Rabbi Simlai got upset about that. So we see over here that person a machlokas between these two marayim. Rabbi Yosi Galila ikla le'asrid Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosi Galila, not to be confused with the Tan, Rabbi Yosi Galili visited Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina and Tiltel Shraga v'ikpid Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina. And again, another machlokas amarayim we hold like Rabbi Shimon and or Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, this machlokas to name is very complicated, and there are a lot of amarayim on both sides. Now, two of those major amarayim on both sides are Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, very early and prominent amarayim. Rabbi Yochanan, it seems that we concluded, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds like Rabbi Shimon. So let's take a look at the story, practice. Rabbi Abahu kiek lelastred Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, hava matatel shraga. Rabbi Abahu, atamid of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, when he would visit him, he would move a candle. And when he would go, also Talmud Rabbi Yochanan, when he would go to Rabbi Yochanan, he would not move the candle. So now this is strange. Manav Shach, Ikra Yehuda Sfir Le Levik Rabbi Yehuda, Ikra Shimon Sfir Le Levik Rabbi Shimon. So you can't change around the halacha. You either hold like Rabbi Shimon or hold like Rabbi Yehuda. You can't, right? You can't hold two opinions. Right. So the simple answer is the Olam Rabbi Shimon Sfir Lei. So obviously he holds like Rabbi Shimon. He holds a Mikkel approach that's not a problem. And Umishim quoted Rabbi Yochanan who de lohavad avid. But out of kavod of Rabbi Yochanan, when he was with Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't. He held like Rabbi Yehuda, and did not move the candle. You only have this flexibility if you hold the Mikkel Shita. Obviously, if he held like Rabbi Yehuda, then he wouldn't allow to be Makel just because he's in the presence of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi because he doesn't want to offend him. But you're allowed to be Machmir for that purpose. Now, regarding our discussion about Muktzah Machmas Mius, right, something's disgusting, and therefore it contains Muktzah status. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shrug the Mishka Shari Lataltula. Rav Yehuda says that if you have a Shrug the Mishka, so like an oil candle, an oil lamp, you're allowed to move that on Shabbos. De nafta ostra l'taltala, right? So if it's of oil, you're allowed to move it. Of nafta, which we discussed on chaf dal and chaf hay, smells very bad, you are not allowed to move it. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayhu, de nafta nami shari l'taltala, that you are allowed to move it. So why would Rav Yehuda say this, right? Now remember, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, not Rabbi Yehuda over here. Rabbi Yehuda holds of Muktzah Machmas Mios, and Rabbi Shimon argues that there's some concept of Muktzah Machmas Mios. Now Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying that, well, sometimes there's Machmas Mios and sometimes there's not. If it's a particularly disgusting thing like nafta, then a Mios is generated. But over here, actually, Rashi says, "Avo benafta demisrach afilu Rabbi Shimon mode delochazi alalim lachto." That Rabbi Yehuda over here is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Yehuda. That he's explaining that even Rabbi Shimon, who says muktzah machmas mios, a lamp doesn't become muktzah machmas mios. So he says Rabbi Shimon only holds this by an oil candle where it's still usable. However, with nafta, it becomes so disgusting that it generates a mios that creates I don't know if a full inability, but practically speaking, nobody would use it for any other purpose, and therefore it does become muktzah machmas mios, says Rav Yehuda, even according to Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi and Rav Yosef disagree. And it would seem that the reason for why they disagree and why they think it still might have a purpose is from the following discussion. Ravavia ikalele be Rava. Ravavia came to Rava's house, hava me'isan bekare betina, that his bekar, his legs became dirty, or feet, her shoes became dirty with mud. Ative apuria kame de Rava, and he nevertheless sat them on the bed that was before Rava. Ikbid Rava, Rava got upset. Rashi says, Mishum tino famita, he got the bed dirty, right? I just did the laundry. Those were new sheets. And boilat saure, he wanted to distress him, Rashi says, l'bisha'elos. He wanted to ask him tough questions to make to get at him for making the bed dirty. So my time, so Amarla, he says to him, my time, a rabbi of Rav Yosef, Damri Tarvayhu, shrugging enough to Nami Shari L'Taltula. So he says, no, Rav Avia, why is it that Rabbi and Rav Yosef permit moving a shragged in nafta, right? Rav Yehuda says Rav Shimon doesn't even Rav Shimon doesn't permit that. Amar Lay explains, Ho v'chazi l'chusui b'mana, because you're able to cover a kli with it, right? So even though you don't use it for most purposes, you can still use it as a kli covering. Elamiata, Rav says back, but now, kol tzrosh v'chotzer mitaltelin, ho v'chazi l'chusui b'hu, right? So if that's true, then every single stone, then stones are no longer us, or rocks, pebbles, nothing's us is Altanori, because everything could be used to cover up a kli. So you just like eliminated all these things from possibly being muktzeh. Amarle, he says back to him, Rabbi says to Rava, ha ikatoris kli aleha, hane le ikatoris kli aleha. Then in the case of the lamp, so the lamp, it's considered a kli. And then you say, okay, maybe it lost its function. No, it still has functionality. So that's why it's not muktzeh. However, stones, which never had Torah's kli in the first place, so you can't say it's not muktzeh just because you could technically use it for a purpose. If you perhaps designated it and perhaps made a change as a discussion, then maybe there's something to talk about. But there's no Torah's kli, and therefore you cannot make that distinction. Milo Tanya, was it not also taught in the Braisa, Hashirim, Banazalmim, Batabos, these different types of jewelry, bracelets, nose rings, regular rings, Harahin Kechol HaKelim, Harahin Kechol HaKelim, aren't they like all Kelim that you're not allowed to take in the Chatzar? Rashi says, Afal Pisha Asher Letzeis Behen L'Rishos HaRabim, you're not allowed to take them in Rishos HaRabim. As we're going to learn later on, that there's a gzeira dilma shilfa mechavil, that a woman's not allowed to wear these certain jewelry in Rosh Hashanah because she might take them off to show her friend. But nevertheless, mihu toras kli alehen umutar l'tatzel malbush. However, since they're considered, even though they're not allowed to wear them in Rosh Hashanah, but they're allowed to right in their own privacy, allowed to in Rosh Hashanah, allowed to move them, they're not considered muktzeh because they have toras kli on them, right? Vamar ula, as back to the Gemara, vamar ula. Matam hove ikatoras kliale, as Rashi said. Hachanami hove ikatoras kliale. So here also, there's a status of toras kli. So even if one of its functions is removed for some reason, like in, for example, the woman can't wear these jewelry in the Rishus HaRabim, but still they have toras kli on them. They still are functional. In some form, and they don't lose their status of Toras Kli. And similarly, a lamp is considered a Kli. Yes, there are certain functions that are removed from it because it is like a little bit disgusting, but that is not enough to remove its Toras Kli. And then just the Gemara concludes over here: Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Brich Rachmana Delo Kasifei Rava L'Rav Avia. Like, Baruch Hashem that Rava was not successful in trying to embarrass Rav Avia. Okay, we will hold it here for now.